This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is hour number three as we continue on SportsMap Radio. You know, last hour I was kind of touching on hearing about the conversation about Ben Roethlisberger being a competent quarterback and only going, winning a Super Bowl when actually he won two. But I am really fascinated by what happened on Monday night and how we just don't see that enough in the National Football League. The National Football League is probably the cruelest of all of the business side of sports. We say this a lot. It's that your career ends before you want it in that sport more than any others because of the non-guaranteed contract that you might want to continue, but the league may push you back and say, no, not really. And so because of that, we don't usually get a player where we know that he's going to retire actually playing a final game to a crowd that gets to say thank you. We don't get to see that. And a lot of the reason is that star players, like, just keep it in the quarterback realm, because you can talk about defensive linemen and running backs and all of that. But let's just keep it at quarterbacks. Why don't quarterbacks get to have one final send-off? Well, the answer is simple. Because if you've been in the league a long time and played for one particular organization and, had an 18-year career, 15-year career, 13-year career, whatever it is, chances are you're pretty good. You're pretty good. Because this league does not allow you to have that kind of career with one team if you stink. So chances are you're pretty good. And if you're pretty good, the team is probably pretty good. And if you're pretty good and the team is pretty good, it means most of your focus is on what is ahead. Getting to the postseason, establishing a playoff presence, and making a run at the Super Bowl. And even in the latter years where you are struggling, if you're still the starting quarterback in the NFL, you are doing good things. The season could get away from you, but you have been the starter because they expect you to lead that team to the postseason. And if you don't, then you get an opportunity of what happened in Ben Roethlisberger's case, where he could see, all right, this is probably my last home game, because even if we make the playoffs, we're not hosting one. And even though our goal is to do the best job we can and hope for the playoffs, it is unlikely that's going to happen. John Elway won a Super Bowl, right? Peyton Manning won a Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers will probably retire after a postseason run. So we don't normally get to see it because guys don't really know when that final home game is going to be, because the goal is to extend the season. That the Steelers couldn't.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue as Wake Up Call on SportsMap Radio. There's a developing story going on with the Australian Open tennis tournament that we want to get to. We talked a little bit about it in hour number two, and I said, listen, there's something going on with this story. I'm seeing it on Twitter. Let's find out a little bit more about it. And given that, what, Australia is 15 days ahead of us in the future?
Yes.
We'll know. But in all seriousness, Novak Djokovic is looking for his 21st Grand Slam title and is heading to Australia, but he is not vaccinated. Now, he needs a medical exemption to participate in the Australian Open without a vaccine. And now the Victoria state government is saying no. Well, here is Scott Morrison, who's the Australian Prime Minister, to help us with this story.
Any individual seeking to enter Australia must comply with our border requirements. Now, Novak Djokovic, when he arrives in Australia, I'm not quite sure when he's going to turn up, but I don't think it's too far away, he has to, because if he's not vaccinated, he must provide acceptable proof that he cannot be vaccinated for medical reasons and to be able to access the same travel arrangements as fully vaccinated travellers. So we await his presentation and what evidence he provides to support that. If that evidence is insufficient, then he won't be treated any different to anyone else and he'll be on the next plane home.
That's it. They're going to send Simple. The number one tennis player in the world out of the country if he fails to prove a reason why he can't get the vaccine. Bye-bye. They're not messing around.
My question is this, and I'm not a scientist. I'm not trying to be facetious here. Why allow exemptions at all? If you're saying that we want to have everybody vaccinated to rid this island continent of COVID, why make an exception for anybody? Why not say, look, it's too bad that you have a medical occurrence that doesn't allow you to have the vaccine, but while we are sympathetic to that, you're not coming into the country. Like, if you just let 4 or 5 people in, doesn't that ruin what you're trying to do? Again, I just don't know. I mean, I'm not a scientist, so I don't really know how that would work. All I know is Novak Djokovic could be sent home as soon as he gets there. Like, as soon as he gets off the plane, he's going to get, hey, where's your exemption? Let's see it. Oh, we don't like it. Bye. Take off. Clear one runway 4. Novak Djokovic's plane is going to be leaving.
Don't you get the feeling he's going to be like Tom Hanks in the terminal? He's going to get off the plane.
And then just going to keep him there?
And then, you know, he's never going to see, never going to be able to breathe fresh Australian air. And they'll just turn him right around. But I also imagine that, you know, Novak Djokovic is probably taking a private jet.
Oh, yeah, he's taking a private jet. That's a long flight, though. And that is a long flight to go without a full knowledge that you're going to be able to get this done.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's a long
time.
Depending on where you live, I guess.
Is his team,
maybe it's a short flight from where he lives.
Is his team right now just going, like, just find a doctor and pay him?
Yeah, right? like how is this going to...
Okay. Because the prime minister just said, if he can't provide sufficient evidence, and, you know, it's got to come from, like, a medical doctor saying that there's a reason why he can't have the vaccine.
Right.
You know, which has never been disclosed ever in public before. He's just said he does not want to take it. He's been an anti-vaxxer from the beginning.
Sure.
But if there's a medical reasoning behind it, I mean that's the only way he can play.
Okay, so here's another question for you for this story that I'd like to know. We all know that in individual sports, especially superstars, especially megastars, they have a team of people, right? They're marketing people, communications people. They are around businesses that are like, we are Team Novak Djokovic. Do you think that they are they winging it here? Or have they done their due diligence to say, don't worry, go to Australia. This is going to pass.
It'll figure itself out.
Right.
I don't think you can do that now. Because here's what happened. They originally did do that. Said, you know, you're going to go there. They're going to give you a medical exemption. And because it was announced, that's where all the backlash came from.
Oh, I got it. Okay,
they got a bunch of Karens in Australia, too.
Yeah, they do. They do. But a lot of it, too, could a lot of it be, again, we're not talking about just Novak Djokovic. We're talking about the team behind him, right? Agent,
right.
Whatever. That there's a little bit of hubris here. They're like, they're not going to send the number one tennis player in the world home from the Australian Open. They're not going to do that. The world is watching. They're not going to do that. They're going to Novak. Just go there. Trust us. Go there. They will not send you home. That whatever is the reasoning, it is going to fly. They are not going to send you home. And Scott Morrison basically said, yeah, we will send
you
home.
We're going to send you home.
We're going to send him home. So we don't care. Tennis world can cry and scream, but he's leaving because we're not playing around here. Interesting.
It really is. I mean,
really
I know. I mean, you know, we're not even really caring about the tennis. Let's be real.
No,
it's just that, you know. I mean, put that in any other sport, right? Say, I mean, it was almost when the NHL last year said, "Well, Canadian teams will stay in Canada, U.S. teams will stay in U.S. and they won't play each other ever." And we'll just, you know, until the very bitter end, and then we'll just come up with a final.
Right.
Which never really seemed to make sense anyways. I mean, or take it a step further. If it's the NFL, and, you know, California is hosting the Super Bowl this year. What if they put down a rule saying, you know, anti-vaxxers, you need to show medical exemption?
That's a great.
You know, and by happenstance, the Colts are in the Super Bowl. I'm just going to pick on Carson Wentz because he's the only one that I know that. You know, it was a prominent figure that I can think off the top of my head that is, I don't know if he's anti-vax, but not vaccinated.
Great point. So you're right. So, so what if California said, you're not going in the state unless you got to.
Carson Wentz, you cannot play in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, that's what's going on with Kyrie Irving, right?
Yes.
In a sense. Like,
well, yeah, exactly. That's what.
Take the Nets out of Brooklyn for a second and pretend it was the Indiana Nets.
Yeah.
Right? And they went to New York. They were like, not him.
Well, I mean,
he can't.
Lee
Ellis
said.
He can't.
He can play in Indiana tonight, but he can't play in Toronto, this weekend or something?
This weekend, yeah.
So, I mean, he can't even play in half the games because there's going to be some places that go, no, you can't be here.
I got to think that the Novak Djokovic camp said, we're not 100% sure, but it's like we are 80% sure this you're going to play. Like, go there. We got this. We'll do this. I can't imagine them just going, everybody get on the plane. Let's get the plane over there, and let's just hope for the best. I mean,
it does seem far-fetched, but
because this is, I think, like, it sounds, again, I'm speaking out of total inexperience here on this issue, but that sounds like something you could work out without actually being in Australia, right? Like, you could say, we'll fax over the documents, or we'll send you over the documents, whatever it is. We just want to know, before we get on a plane, are we wasting our time?
Yeah.
And while he's heading out there, they're like, yeah, and we'll send that plane back. We don't care. It's like, wait a minute, can't this be before everybody gets on jets and pilots are hired and fuels is in the tank, can we at least know what we're up against when we get to Melbourne? Like, is that impossible?
I don't know. Is it a shorter trip from, I think he's Croatian. Is it a shorter trip from Croatia to Australia than it is from United States to Australia?
I feel like Australia is one of those places where it's a long trip no matter where you live in the world.
It's on another planet, basically.
Like, people in New Zealand are like, I will never go to Australia. It's like, 20 minutes. I don't have the time. I just can't fly there. It feels like, because here in the United States, I would love to go to Australia on vacation. It is the flight that would make me not go. Like, even if I had the money to go and had a nice vacation, I cannot be in a plane for like 19 hours. I'd lose my mind. I'd fly Qantas. And as we know from
Rain Man,
it never crashed.
Yep.
Right. So
what if that's still true?
I wonder if that's still true. That's such a 1980s reference. We've had 30 years since that movie has come out.
Qantas.
It's
gonna fly to Australia.
But I've heard even on private jets, it will make you stir crazy how long that flight is.
Oh God, I just
like golfers who go for the Australian Open or tennis players and whatnot or whatever.
I would have to say, you know what? Let's just have layovers in every country along the way.
Oh my God, yeah. Yeah, and we're stopping for the night too. Like, I want a hotel. I want a real meal. Like, we're not park the plane. I'm getting out. I'm getting into a hotel. Then we'll fly the next morning. That's a long trip. My goodness. But this is an interesting development. I'm going to keep an eye on this because Novak's going for number 21. This would make him. This would put him in what? Right now he's tied, right?
Yeah,
at 20 with Nadal and Federer.
Well, I don't think he's one ahead of Nadal.
One ahead of Nadal. Federer. Okay, he's tied with Federer. Oh, that's right. You're right. I think you're right because that last major he won, I think, set him.
This is a bizarre situation. I don't think
it is.
I mean, the only thing we can compare it to, you know, and it's our small American minds, is Kyrie Irving at this point.
That's exactly.
Yeah, because Kyrie Irving, he's not allowed to play Toronto. He's not allowed to play at home. He's not allowed to play, you know, just name the different places. There's probably more than that he's not allowed to play in because of certain COVID mandates. Yeah. And a lot of those mandates might be on the rise, too.
Very true.
You know, Omicron seems to be gripping the nation and gripping the world at this moment. I think that, you know, we might see more of this coming up.
It's quite possible. All right. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. More thoughts on the Nets situation with Kyrie. I want to get to that coming up next on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue with Sports Map Radio. Again, hour number three, Denton Day is coming up next. So Kyrie Irving could play tonight for the Brooklyn Nets in Indiana when they take on the Pacers, but he can't play in New York, can't play in Toronto. So he can play when they're on the road outside of those areas. So it raises the question. We talked to Lee Ellis about this at hour number two. It raises the question whether or not this will work. Kyrie's a great player. Don't get me wrong. He's a great player. But basketball is better played when there's continuity, right? When you are, you know, you may hold on to get a player back from the injury list, but you want the consistency of your lineup. For the Brooklyn Nets to go to a road game where they're going to have to add Kyrie to the lineup, it's not just throwing him in there, just like he's just another uniformed player. Like, there's a whole strategic element that the Nets are going to employ when he's on the court that they're not going to use when he's not on the court. And if you're Steve Nash, it's going to give you a headache. And so when obviously he makes them a better player, but you are not talking about individual games. You want the longevity of it. You want the consistency of it. And that's where I think this is why this is not going to work. But I am curious, and this is what I asked Lee about in hour number two, which was, what happened to Brooklyn and the ownership group that was willing to keep him out? Just say, look, this is not a money thing. This is a principle thing. You're not going to be around our team if you don't have the vaccine. Now, again, I'm not trying to get into a vaccine debate with anybody, and I'm certainly not trying to go into that rabbit hole. I'm trying to keep it within the sports world here. Right or wrong, whatever you feel about that, that's fine. But from a Brooklyn Nets ownership standpoint, they were willing to pay Kyrie and just keep him around in case they wanted him, but they did make a stand on this, and now they're backing off. Why? Because the Nets have lost three in a row? Like what is the reasoning behind it? Don't get me wrong. I think people can change minds. But I think this was a big deal for the Nets to make a stand on. And I think if you make a stand like this, this isn't a whimsical thing. I think you sit in a room and you hash this out. You talk it over with the powers that be. Head coach, manager, general manager, whoever. You make the point about this. You make the point that here's where this is going. And we're not going to back down on this. And I think that's where everything is, right? I think that's, if you're the Nets, that's where you're going to make the stand. I don't think this will work because of from a basketball perspective. That's fine. But you know what else? I don't know if the organization is making the right call here from just an organizational standpoint. Whether they're right or wrong, it's irrelevant. I just don't know how this will play out. I think you'll make them better, right? But this isn't like Klay Thompson rejoining the team. This is like Kyrie will be here, now he won't be here. Now he'll be here, now he won't be here. So I really am curious what direction this is going to be heading. But I am interested more on the line of the Klay Thompson situation, because that really has a chance to blow the Western Conference wide open. Just blow it up. The Warriors are like in a NASCAR race. They're like the lead car with a bunch of cars behind them, and then they hit like the turbo button or something, and then they like Kit and Knight Rider, and they just explode. Getting Klay Thompson back could put some real strain on the teams that are trying to catch up to them. I think that's going to be the real interesting development, because the Warriors are good. The Warriors aren't struggling like the Lakers and need a boost, or the Mavericks and need a boost. They need like, bam. They're like great now. And then they get Klay Thompson back, and it's just like, bam, here they are. The Golden State Warriors are back in our lives. Oh, man, that's so interesting. So, yeah, on the one hand, you've got a player being utilized in Kyrie Irving in a way that's probably not going to work. Too inconsistent, doesn't develop a flow to your season. And on the flip side, You got Klay Thompson returning to Golden State that will come back after 2 years, get his feet wet, get back into game shape, get back into game speed, and that team is going to explode and possibly win the West going away. Interesting. One development note in baseball. Did you see Ken Rosenthal got let go?
I did see that.
Yeah. And a lot of it is because he was critical of Rob Manfred.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, he's fine. He works for The Athletic and he does other things. So he's not, like, unemployed.
Nah, and he'll be snatched up in seconds.
Right. And yeah, he's doing other things. He's very good at what he does. But I never like these kind of stories. It always it kind of ticks me off because I've done both. I've been a quote unquote journalist in two capacities, right? I've covered teams where you cover the good and you cover the bad, where I've gotten sound on controversial issues and I've made commentary on things about the team and coaches and whatnot, all when I was in Colorado and whatnot. But I've also done play-by-play for teams where they're paying the money. And so you don't present the team in a bad light, right? And so Ken Rosenthal, I think, with the MLB Network was kind of walking a little bit of a fine line there. He is a journalist at heart, right? That is who he is. He is a journalist at heart. He wants to say, hey, Rob Manfred is not doing this or that. There's concern about this. There's concern. And he wants to be able to do that. But at the same time, he is doing it on a Major League Baseball network that is run by the league. But I think if you're a commissioner, David Stern used to do this a lot when he was a commissioner. He would say, I'm not happy with that coverage, but he never demanded people be fired. I think if you're a commissioner and you put certain people in places, you can have good conversations with those journalists and say, hey, I know it's on our network or I know it's on our means of communication, but here's my side of the things or here's my side of the story. I want to keep you as a journalist. I think you have to have a thicker skin. It seems like it's not being accepted well. Like he crossed a line that everyone went, ah, yeah, you know, you got to understand where you're coming from. I think people are like, no, that's Rob Manfred being kind of childish. There have been things that they haven't done well, right? But Rob Manfred couldn't take it? Is that what we're doing here?
I mean, that's what it's coming across now.
Right? You're a commissioner. You hear from
soft.
Every single owner, right? Well, that's the other thing, too. What if he's getting it from the owners? What if the owners are like, I don't like the way they're talking about you, Rob. Makes us look like we're not in charge here. And he's going to go, well, he's a good dude. And I know he's a good guy, but he's got to go. And
isn't it funny? I believe like the outlook of who the commissioner is has changed. And maybe it's a younger generation coming in. I mean, you know, for you and I growing up, we've always looked at it, and we still do, that the commissioner just represents the owners.
Right.
That collectively, you know, if you heard from every single individual owner, you know, it would probably be chaos.
Right.
So he collectively, represents the owners. And a lot of times, like in Bud Selig's case, he was an owner, you know, for many, many years. But now it almost feels like it's the title of commissioner has changed, where the commissioner oversees the owners as well.
Right. Yeah, he's got to manage that group.
Yeah,
of people.
Like right? I mean,
that's going to be a nightmare.
When Daniel Stern, not the actor, the NBA commissioner.
Right.
You know, when he had to oversee all the owners and take their consideration in ousting Donald Sterling.
Donald Sterling, sure.
And you know, but it's funny to think that you know that should never have happened because he kind of represents Donald Sterling's opinion,
right? So
viewpoint.
That he had to get the consensus from the owners.
Yeah.
I know. And that's so these commissioners appear strong, but they're all still taking the phone calls.
Yep.
Going, hey, I didn't like this, I didn't like that.
So I think you're right. I think he probably got some pressure and say, hey, you got to can that Rosenthal,
right,
fella?
He probably did. All right, more from Wake Up Call as we continue on Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. We should have a fun throwback Thursday tomorrow. We were just looking that one up. So we got the NFL playoffs coming up after this weekend. So this is week 18. What did you think of this? Like, now that we've gotten, like, we're heading into the final week of the season. Like, now is, the, like, right now. Our whole lives right now would be gearing up for the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right? Now we're not. Now we're playing another football game.
Yeah, we already know. You know what we would have been doing this week? We'd have been talking about which coach had been canned.
Right.
And we'd probably and each morning, because it's usually, you know, like overnight or early in the morning when you get the word. I mean, we'd be breaking news right now saying, hey, Matt Nagy just got fired. Because I think the consensus is that he's going to be.
Yeah, I think so too. So yeah, Black Monday. Used to be around this time during the season. And now we're all playing one more football game.
Got one more game to go.
It all up. Titans got to win to get the number one seed. Steelers got to win and have Jacksonville win to make the playoffs. Chargers and Raiders are playing winner-take-all kind of game. Baltimore needs to win. San Francisco needs to win. The Saints need to win. I saw this. I think it was on NFL.com. I was reading an article yesterday about all the playoff scenarios, and I'm not kidding. My head was spinning with all the well, they could be the two seed, but if they win and these teams lose, they'll be down to the five seed. And I'm like, who has to figure all this stuff out? Like, it's one thing to be like, here's how we make the playoffs. You make the playoffs, do X, Y, and Z. X, you win, then you need this to happen and this to happen. Great. But if you want to be, I don't know, seed number three, here's all the other things that have to take place. And not only that, this article, which was, by the way, really well written, was pointing out that in some cases teams might want to be this seed so they don't have to go to this place and play in the first round. That's too much. I just want my team to make the playoffs. I don't care if they have to play on Mars. I don't care. I just get them in. I'm sure you're the same way with the Chargers. Just for the love of Pete, win that game and get in.
Yeah, I don't need to know the 500 scenarios. I just need to, you know, you win, you're in.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the only mindset you need to have.
Just get in.
But it was funny because then, you know, you have like, some teams have like 1,000 scenarios. And then, you know, I look at the Steelers and I haven't memorized that there's three ways for them to get in.
Yeah.
Or they need three things to happen for them to get
in.
Like, those three things have to happen in order for them to get in. And it's simple.
By the way, if Jacksonville beats the Colts, the Steelers beat the Ravens, and the game doesn't end in a tie between the Chargers and the Raiders.
And one of those I can almost guarantee.
By the way, I'll be sweating that game out. I'll be like, go for two, go for two, go for two!
Yeah. Now, the Chargers, they can get in with a tie.
The Chargers can get in with a tie.
I think so.
You know, we kind of think... You know, I was going to say, who wins the tie? Who goes to the playoffs in a tie game between the Raiders? It would be the Chargers?
I think it would be the Chargers, not the Steelers.
Okay, so here's the thing. Here's the thing about that. We say, like, oh, a tie. We always have to throw out the tie, but ties are kind of rare. But if you're the Chargers, let's say you're the Chargers and you're down three in regulation, and you go for a field goal to tie the game. And then you know you win if the game ends in a tie. You're going to the playoffs. Doesn't that change exactly what you do in the final 10 minutes? Like,
if you have
the ball, don't you want to eat clock?
I think so. I mean,
like, you know what I mean? Like obviously you want to try to score, but you don't want to take too many chances. You know, you don't want to go bold.
You're not going for it on fourth and
right.
20.
No, you would be like, hey. All we have to do is, you know, we got to play shutout football and we go to the playoffs. So let's be, you know, obviously Brandon Staley is not a conservative coach. So wouldn't it change your mindset if you knew a tie would get you a win? If I'm the Steelers and the Chargers have the ball and they keep picking up 4 yards a carry, I would be like, oh my God, they're going to run out the clock, aren't they? This football team is going to run out the clock.
God, how mad would you be?
Oh, you'd be furious.
Like, you know, I mean, say everything happened and lined up for the Steelers because the Raiders and Chargers, they play Sunday night.
Right.
So, like, you know, everything is, everything will be in the books. And imagine if the Jaguars beat the Colts.
If they do, oh my God.
And you're sitting there, and for you, you don't care which team wins. You just want one of them to win.
And that game goes into overtime?
The game goes into overtime.
Oh, my God, I'll be sweating that one out.
Then you're like 3 minutes left in the game. It's still tied. No team, you know.
Yeah.
No team is trying to push
for it. Chris Collinsworth reminding me every second how the Chargers could go to the playoffs with a tie.
Because if Indiana loses to the Colts, the Raiders get in with a tie.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, I got you. Okay. All right. So, I'm going to rewind this. If the Colts beat Jacksonville, right, it eliminates the Steelers. But the Raiders get in if that game ends in a tie. If the Jaguars win that game amazingly and the Steelers beat the Ravens and that game ends in a tie, the Steelers are out and the Chargers are in. Is that what we're coming up with?
With the Raiders?
Okay, no. So if the Colts beat the Jacksonville Jaguars, which we expect,
yeah,
Steelers are out.
The Colts are in with a win or a tie.
Colts are in. But if the Raiders, that game then still becomes a winner-take-all game, but the Raiders would win on the tie.
If the Colts lost their game.
If the Colts, all. Okay.
So for you, like you're let's look at the Steelers. Right?
Let's make this about me right now.
Yeah, let's look at it from the Steelers' standpoint. Steelers need to beat the Ravens. That's a given. You know that. The Steelers also need the Colts to lose. And they need the Raiders and Chargers game not to end in a tie.
I got you. Okay.
Right? That's what the Steelers need. So if we play the scenario and say the Colts, for whatever reason, 0-7 came true for them in Jacksonville or being the away team against the Jaguars, and they lost to the Jaguars, the Colts aren't out of it. But the Steelers... I think the Colts would be out if they lost, because if we assume the Steelers win, because they need Pittsburgh to lose.
Right. Oh, this is where it gets messy.
Yeah. So the Colts technically aren't out of it. If they lost their game, they would need the Chargers to lose, Baltimore and Pittsburgh to tie, or Chargers to lose, Pittsburgh to lose, and Miami to win. That's when it gets stupid. But
all right, so this is forget what I'm worried about.
So if the Colts lose, the Steelers are sitting, they're looking there like, hey, we beat our team. Jaguars did the impossible. All we need is not this game to tie.
Right.
If the Chargers and Raiders tie, Steelers are out, Colts are out, Raiders and Chargers are in.
Both of those teams are in if the game's tied.
Yeah.
Holy cow, that's even worse, Ron. That's even worse, because both teams would be playing for the tie.
Yeah, because they would know everything.
Right. Because, look, there is a difference when you can get something for tying. And you would play not to lose, right? But if both teams are in with a tie, both teams could be as conservative.
Yep.
And so what I would have is, this is really fascinating, by the way, I would have a tie game going into overtime, sitting in my chair going, oh my God, the football gods love me. They gave me a Jacksonville win over the Colts.
Yes.
And they gave me a Steelers win against the Ravens.
Yep.
And this game is going to overtime. And Chris Collinsworth going, you know, Al, both of these teams would get into the playoffs if they just simply tied. And I just run the ball and eat clock. There's no reason, Al, at all, to take a risk in this game. Just let the clock do its thing. Don't call any timeouts, and both teams go to the playoffs.
What it reminds me of is years ago, I can't remember, I want to say it was in 2010, the World Cup in 2010, or it could have been the one in 2006. I'm not sure. Because they made a rule change. And they started making all the group play games, the final group play games, at the same time. So you had teams who were still playing for something. But it just by happen chance that Italy was playing against Mexico. Both those teams were advancing because they found out the result of the other game. Italy played with the ball, just keeping it on their half of the field, I want to say for at least 10, 15 minutes, just passing it back and forth, never moving it across midfield, never taking that chance.
Oh,
why?
My God.
Because Mexico sat back and was happy to let them just kick the ball around because they advanced too, regardless of the score. So both teams played horrible games. I mean, they didn't try to score at all. They, from that second half on, it was, for a long time, fans were booing and whistling because all they were doing, all Italy was doing was like, just keep the ball here. Mexico's not attacking. Mexico's like, you guys just don't advance it because we're both going on to the next round. You could have that situation going in.
Yeah, exactly.
For Chargers Raiders come Sunday night.
Run the ball, eat some clock, just you know, get some first downs. You punt it away. The other team runs the ball. Yeah.
Unless they truly hate each other, which I think they do.
They do, but at the same time, you're like,
I mean, if you get to overtime,
you wouldn't do it to help the other team. You would do it to prevent the one disaster.
Yeah.
Right? That costs you a chance to make the playoffs.
That's what I'm saying. If you
I would be conservative. You would be conservative. It would be like a mutual agreement of like, I'm not trying to help you and you're not trying to help me, but we're both doing what's best for us.
I'm not taking a knee, but we're just going to keep rushing it right up the middle to kill the clock. And it's like the Raiders saying, we're fine, or the Chargers saying, we're fine. We're not going to call a timeout to stop the clock.
Right.
Let it just run out. If we end, if the game ends 13-13, we're both in. We're good.
Oh, this is so fun. This is so confusing sometimes. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. While we go break, I'll still try to figure this all out. We continue on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along. Denton Day is coming up next on Sports Map Radio. This hour brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. I want to get to a little entertainment angle here. I've been watching season 4 of Cobra Kai on Netflix.
Have you?
Yeah. I
got to catch up. I think I still need to finish season 3.
Okay. I like it. It's great. They've found, outside of Pat Morita, who passed away, they have found every single actor who has had a role in that series, those three movies, and brought them back. Yeah, they brought back the guy who played Terry Silver in the third one. They have brought back him. Allie came back. Elizabeth Shue was in one of them. They have the mom. There's a whole bunch of them that have made appearances. Obviously, John Kreese is now a major storyline in this. It's pretty good. The weird thing about it, though, is what's great about it is it's not a nostalgic trip. There's an actual storyline with kids, the next generation. But they're the angriest kids. They're always fighting all the time. Serious karate fights break out constantly over everything. Everything. It's a blast. It's a blast. I like it.
Is it still that situation? Like, if you just sit down and talk to each other.
Yeah, exactly.
You'd realize that you guys were not really mad at the same thing.
Completely. It's happening between Ralph Macchio and the actor. What's his name of the actor that plays
William Zabka?
William Zabka, yeah. Like their characters, Daniel LaRusso and Johnny. They will be like, one of them will be like, hey, I got to go talk to him. I got to tell him I'm sorry. I overreacted to that situation.
And you're like, oh, that's adult of you.
And they're like, that's adult. And so he goes, like, Ralph Macchio goes, Daniel LaRusso goes to talk to Johnny and say something. And then the next thing you know, he's like, I'm really sorry. I said those things and I overreacted. And Johnny will go, yeah, well, you should be. It was very hurtful what you said. He goes, but you were kind of acting like a jerk too. And then the next thing you know, they're in karate stances.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't last 2 seconds. They're ready to beat each other up.
Now I'm gonna go back in time a little bit. You remember the TV show How I Met Your Mother?
Yeah.
Okay. There was one episode where Neil Patrick Harris's character Barney put the twist on it that the Karate Kid was actually all about William Zabka, about Johnny. That he's the Karate Kid, and told the story through his eyes that you know, here was this upstart kid from New Jersey who came there, stole his girl. What's the man supposed to do?
What is he supposed to do is right.
You know, and then when he confronts him, he gets picked on and beat up by, you know, the housekeeper, whatever Pat Morita, Mr. Miyagi's character was.
He just gets
jumped by this old man when he's just trying to have a conversation.
Yeah, it's a great point. That's one of the reasons I'm glad this series kind of came out, because you're watching it and you're like, man, it's a continuation of this guy's story.
Yeah.
Johnny Lawrence, like, he was the typical 80s bully rich high school
kid.
Oh,
my God.
That was the stereotype of every movie like that.
And every movie he made during the 80s. I mean, he was a huge star in the 80s.
Yeah,
and
he
then
was.
Just like, you know, couldn't find that Jason Bateman back into the limelight until now.
Yeah, where he found consistent work all the way through as he grew up. Yeah. And you're like, yeah, he was but it's kind of neat to watch it and go, this is like, there was moments in this series where he did say kind of like that. Like, wait a minute, hold on. This isn't like, I wasn't the bad guy and you were the good guy. Like there were there's kind of moments where you go, oh, I could see his point of view.
Yeah.
Like,
stole his girl.
Good. I'm glad.
Just come on. He showed up at a beach and was dribbling a ball and the girl
went,
I like you.
I know. Right. Exactly. I think that this is one of the fun things about it, though, is it's two guys, two actors that are having a good time with this. They really are. And you could tell everybody that has been a part of it. Martin Love, who plays John Kreese, and the actor that played Terry Silver. Like, they all probably were like, hell yeah, I'm doing it. Hell yeah. Send my agent the script. Hell yeah, I'm doing this. I'm absolutely reprising that role, man. Absolutely, I'm jumping
on board. Now, can Ralph Macchio and William Zabka, can they go have dinner together?
Yeah, right? If you saw them in a restaurant, wouldn't you want them to be in karate poses?
Yeah. Just keep staring. It's going to happen. Get
Could
that phone ready.
Could you kick him in the face for me? Could you do that? Will you kick him in the face? Yeah, do that. All right, Dead and Days coming up next. We'll be back tomorrow for Throwback Thursday at Sports Map Radio.